Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So Vicky's like, how about we go to the, you know, how about we go to the beach? I've got a Zoom. I've got four Zoom calls to do though. Because, you know what? I love having a life partner. I never thought like Don and I would break up, or Brooks. Well, that was a different story. But I can't handle another breakup. I can't do it. I'm like, well, guess what? It's probably going to happen based on your track record. The expiration date is coming up soon. It's been 4 years.
Well, gird your loins, sister.
Yeah. So, by the way, Billy, my friend Heather is having a Valentine's Day party, and chances are I won't be there because, like, you know, residency. But I'm going to be here all by myself. I'm in, like, Mexican jail. So
we find out that she's trying to get her Mexican residency, but she has to wait or something. And she's not supposed to leave Mexico until she gets a certain card, but it's not looking good. So she might be stuck in Mexico forever. God, immigration should be easier, am I right?
So now we go back up to Orange County, and here's what she's missing up there. Gina chopping pillows.
I feel bad, Flick. I feel bad, Flick.
And her mom, Susan, emerges. And Susan's like, I decided to style myself as Tom Petty today. So they are, they've got lunch that's arrived, and Travis is heading off to a listing appointment. And Gina's like, the gated group has been like booming. There's like not a one bedroom apartment in all of Orange County that has not been sold by us at this point. Like every year that we're in business, like we double our business. So like first year we had one sale, second year we had two sales, this year we had four sales. Watch out.
Look out, world. So this scene is about Gina getting engaged. It's very exciting. And we find out Gina's storyline for the season. Should she take Travis's last name or keep her own? And it's a huge decision. She wants to keep her own because it keeps her, you know, close to the kids because that's their last name. But Travis wants her to have his last name because he's a man. And it's going to be weird for a man to be married to a woman
who don't have the same last name. I mean, what the hell is this?
So the mom's like, well, you know, you could hyphenate. She's like, how can you hyphenate a 14-letter last name? Carson Ida Mullen, come on, mama. I'm going to be on customer service for the rest of my life. spelling out
that name, and that cracked me up. But on the customer service note, Mullen is a lot easier.
I
was about to say, if you're already going through Carson Ida, you might as well just add Mullen onto it, because at that point, it's too much.
You want to hear my name? I feel bad. It's a lot of letters.
We also see a video of Travis proposing to Gina up in like Big Bear or Arrowhead or something. And she's just like in this fur vest, and she has like a little crown on that maybe it's like a New Year's crown or something. And they're like outside, and like it's like you hear like water dripping out of a gutter and everything. And she's like,
oh my God, I feel mad. Yes, oh my God. I feel so the opposite of bad right now.
I did think it's weird to get engaged right then because, like, New Year's is where you make promises you don't keep. And we all know it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the day you're like, oh my God, this is the year I'm going to work out every day. Or this is the year I'm going to, you know. Actually, I think that's been my only resolution for 50 years. This year's when I'm going to start working out. It never happens. Do not get engaged on a day where people lie to themselves.
I just don't like people doing milestone things on holidays or long weekends. I think it's obnoxious and rude because now, like, if someone else wants to celebrate that weekend or that day, they can't quite because they almost always are obligated to do something pertaining to that milestone, you know? So it's like, oh my God, I'm having a wedding on Memorial Day weekend. It's like, I don't have any 3-day weekends, and now I have to spend my whole 3-day weekend going to your wedding. It's like, I don't like that. And like, I get it because you're thinking like, this way you don't have to take off work. You can come to my wedding. It's like, I would rather have an excuse to take off work because then I have a take off work excuse and I have a 3-day wedding. And now I only get one of those things and I can't do the thing that I want. Like, don't do the wedding on New Year's. Don't do
well, this is just the engagement.
But you know it's going to be a, like, guys, every New Year's, we're going to celebrate my engagement. It's always going to be a thing. And, like,
yeah.
I don't like doubling up on holidays. I think it's obnoxious. Like, well,
you also have to think of yourself. You know, I always say, don't only think about your wedding, think about your possible divorce. Like, don't only think about who you're going to marry, think about who you're going to divorce, because that person could be a fucking monster. You have to see them in a car, how angry they get in traffic, or how they treat, you know, puppies who are too clawy on them. Or, you know, you have to see people's bad side. And also, think about the holiday, because if you get divorced, you're always going to think of New Year's Day. Like, this is the day I got engaged. Like, my sister got married on Valentine's Day, which was great when she got married, but it's not great now. I mean, Valentine's Day sucks enough when you're single without having that extra, oh, remember you were divorced today. Well,
yeah.
Or this is when you were married and now you're divorced. Well, have some fucking chocolate.
Yeah. And I guarantee, by the way, going forward, this is what New Year's Eve looks like in the world of Gina. It's like, hey, Gina, we're going to have like a New Year's Eve party. Do you want to come? I can't, because that's actually the anniversary of our engagement. So we usually go out to dinner. So now it's like, okay, well, now you can't come to my party. Or then it becomes, actually, like, I know you're having a party, but since it's our anniversary, we're going to have a party. So do you want to come to my party instead? And then you're like, well, I guess I have to go to Gina's because it's her engagement. Like, she's always going to be pulling the engagement card on New Year's. And I don't know what form it will take, but every form it's going to take is going to be annoying. Like, let New Year's be New Year's, do the engagement on another day. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. No,
yeah.
No doubling up on holidays unless it's like out of your control, like a birthday.
Okay. Well, too late because she's engaged on New Year's. So,
and guess what? It's going to suck for everyone in her orbit every New Year's Eve. I guarantee.
Yeah. So now we go over to Heather's mom's new house. Heather's mom has just moved to LA, and Heather walks in and she's like, oh my God, mom, how did you do this? Everything is already so put together.
Well, I went like this. And she does like the I Dream of Jeannie nose thing, or like, actually I'm sorry, Bewitched. No, that was Jeannie, right? I Dream of Jeannie.
Well, she did the Jeannie arm cross, but then she did the Bewitched wiggle. Yeah, and I think they did it winking, like the sound effect from. So I don't know. They mixed.
Yeah, she did like some Barbara Eden and Elizabeth Montgomery bullshit right there. So Heather's like, "Wow, last time I was here, it was terrifying. Actually, it kind of still is terrifying because you're my mother. Ha 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 ha! I do comedy now." So Carol is like, she's talking about her unpacking and everything, and Heather is like, "Oh, did you put all those things in the room? Is it like where you open up the door and it's going to be like an avalanche of things that I bought for you?"
Because it's like such a sitcom thing where you open the door and everything falls on your head. And she's like, well, it was very important to me that my mother and it was very important to me and my sister that my mother moved closer. Because when my dad got sick, I had to fly to New York to find doctors and blah, blah, blah. My mom's old. I'm not flying to New York again. She can go to doctors here. Besides, we've got Terry. If my mom's heart hurts, he'll just put a boob in it.
Really, the producer said I have to put some family on. I was either I bring my mother on screen or I finally show America that I have a sister. And I said, no, she doesn't get to see the day of light. So, mom it is.
So, how do we feel about moving? And the mom's like, well, Heather, God created Los Angeles, but he lives in New York. Badumcha.
She just stares. She stares at her mom so angrily. She goes, how long did we practice that? Because she is actually low-key mad that, like, that was a line she probably wanted to use in a confessional. Oh, really, mother? So we're just going to be funny after I had an entire season of being a comic actress? Alfredo, no, not now.
Well, it didn't take me long, Heather, but it is such a good line, isn't it? It's like, okay, well, now that you're here, hilarious person, what's the plan? You going to join a bridge group? You going to, I don't know, bury yourself? You going to do something where you're not calling me and bothering me all the time, trying to outdo me with one-liners? You're no Rodney Dangerfield, mother.
Well, Beverly Hills built Bridge Club. I'm going to do that. And I want to see you more. I want to see the grandkids more. Well, as long as you don't go to my sister's house, I'll be happy. But actually what she says is, when she says, I want to see the grandkids more, Heather goes, well, they're gone.
Nice timing. You missed them. The bus you took to get here was a little late, mother. And she says, did my mom miss out? Well, the short answer is yes. Max and Nikki are graduating college. Kat's really enjoying her freshman year. Yale, thank you. And then Ace started high school. It is bizarre having Ace in the house and only Ace. I mean, it just happened. Blink of an eye. Boom. Wow, I keep blinking and my mother is still there. Guess that magic doesn't just keep working for the entire scene, does it?
Well, mother, since I am in my feel-good carefree era, let me ask you this. Do you ever regret not being here? Because I'm just curious. And she's like, excuse me. She's like, do you look back and go, maybe we should have gotten a place near the girls so we could have been around when the grandkids are growing up? She's like, well, I mean, living, you got your own life. She's like, I know, but there's a lot of grandparents that have a place near them and they help and they drive them, mother.
Excuse me, Heather, we flew in for everything we had to fly in for. Well, that's not really the same thing as driving them to soccer practices, etc. There are only so many Alfredos in the world, mother.
You know what? Your father was working. He retired when the twins were born. Oh, remind me who the twins are again. Who are the twins? Ooh. Is that your servants?
I don't even know any twins, Heather. Who are you talking about? Yes, that's why he wasn't at Nikki's Bris.
It is Bris. Sorry.
Bris.
Nikki brought some Brie to the Bris. She goes, oh, God.
It was a Brie Bris.
Oh, God. It's true. Well, you know, you had your own life too, Heather. You didn't want to come to where we were. I had four kids, Mom. I couldn't drag four kids across the country all the time.
Well, most people would visit their grandparents once a year. You could have come to the Hamptons. Adam Sandler came.
She goes, great. What does that mean? What are you talking
Adam
about?
Adam Sandler came with a camper and his wife's grandma to see his mother.
What are you talking about?
I'm How dare
you invoke the name of a famous actor in my presence?
I'm talking about Adam Sandler coming to West Hampton Beach, okay? I mean, we were in Gogue, of course, but, you know, he still said I was very, very funny there.
This is the most insane conversation.
It's not. You're pointing fingers, and I'm telling you Adam Sandler was a better child than you.
You wouldn't change anything.
I would. I would have seen Waterboy in the theaters because there's a man that deserves support.
If you ask my mom about anything, she will tell you about where she traveled and what she's done because that's what's important to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were creating a career and you were busy, busier than Adam Sandler. I respect that. I respect that. You know one thing that Sandler always says when he comes and sees me? You have children? I say, yeah, I do.
It would be nice to think that my mom, in her older years, would be a little bit more emotional or connected, but she's just not self-actualized like that. I'm curious to see if that changes.
So where are the rest of Dad's ashes, Mother? You broke them into thirds.
It's like, well, you had one of them.
Where's the third? You lost it. You lost it. I did not lose it. It's in Adam Sandler's camper. I trusted him to hold on to it.
You lost Dad. She just hates her mom.
She really
She's
does.
She's like, but her mom is totally unfazed. She's like, oh, please. I've been dealing with this for 40 years, 60
and
years.
And this is her mom being nice. Because we've seen her mom on camera before, and she is a pill. And her mom's like, oh, really? You think you're going to make me look stupid again? I'm going to come on here with some one-liners and an Adam Sandler reference. Let's see how well you do making me look like a jerk.
The Adam Sandler thing was hilarious because she made it seem like Adam Sandler really did visit her, but she's just like, no, just saying that Adam Sandler was able to make the effort to go to the Hamptons, so you should be able to make the effort to go to the Hamptons.
Adam Sandler is rich as hell, and he can get in a camper to go see his family. Heather! Wow.
So now we go to Tamara's house, and Tamara's getting in glam, and she's like,
well, it's a Heather party, so I'm sure I'm going to be absolutely beautiful body. I won't let anybody ruffle my feathers.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm in my 50s. This changed my priorities. I'm a good person now. I don't want to lose my shit anymore. I mean, come on. If they don't like me, I'm just going to say, sorry. I'm so sorry that my feelings were hurt. I'm sorry. What do you want me to say?
Then we go to Shannon, and she's in glam. And it looks like she's staring off into space, but she's actually looking at this little vial of testosterone. And it's like, all right, I need to take my testosterone.
Oh, God. Oh no, this has grapeseed oil. Oh, God. I'll just shoot it up anyway. If anything happens to me, you better call the seed oil people. Let them know.
And then we go to the party venue, and Sandra, the party planner, is showing Heather everything. There's like everything is hearts. There's like fishing for diamonds. There's a tattoo station. There's photos. There's everything. It's a Heather Dubrow party. So obviously, I have a lot going on. I just think the last time we were all together, it got very dark. And I just want to have a little lightness and a little love and a little fun and a little frivolity. I think the only thing to be upset about with this party is the price, $75,000. I said the only thing to be upset about with this party is the price. The price. Alfredo, the price. Come on, Alfredo. Come on. Is my drum sound effect playing?
Fishing for diamonds. So she put real diamonds in this thing for people to go get. I mean, that's a party. You know, it's Heather. Like, come to my party. Maybe one of you poor people can find a diamond. It's going to be hilarious. So Heather goes down the slide to prove how fun she is, and people start coming in. We go to the car, one of the cars where Gina's picking up Emily, and everyone who sees Emily is like, oh my God, you're so skinny. Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah. I feel like, from all I've learned, you're really like, that's not what you're really supposed to say. I think you're supposed to say, oh my God, you look so healthy or whatever. Like, isn't it like the, oh my God, you look skinny. You actually look, this is the best you've ever looked. It's supposed to be like really toxic language that you're supposed to, that you sit to say to someone, right?
Well, it's Orange County. They didn't get that.
They didn't get that memo. So Emily has.
But yeah, it is weird when you lose weight and then everybody acts like you've been cured of cancer, you know,
right?
Like, oh my God, thank God I didn't want to say anything earlier, but God, you look amazing. Jesus, thank God you don't look the same as you did the rest of this time I've known you. You were really idiots. Never wanted to say anything about it, but we can talk now like two skinny people to two skinny people, right?
I know. I was like, I don't think this is right. So Emily gets
But then on the car. Other hand, if you lose a bunch of weight and you walk in somewhere and then nobody says anything, you're like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Nobody even said, you know, like you really can't win. But you're right. Nobody, you're not supposed to tell people.
You're not really skinny. You're supposed to say, oh, wow, you're looking healthy or whatever. So
or like if you're in my family, you say, are you sick?
So Emily, she gets in this car and she's like, well, guys, big update. I went downstairs with my bag. It didn't have anything in it. So Annabelle was like, do you want me to fill it up with stuff? And I thought she meant gum and lip gloss. And it's like 8,000 babies and dogs. And so Britt, who's Gina's ex's new girlfriend or wife, is like, well, you know what you're supposed to do with them? Throw them at women I don't like.
No, but what are you supposed to do with them? I wanted to know the answer to this. And we never got it. So thanks, Emily.
The ducks go on the Jeeps. That's what we learned from Rosie.
Well, you know, I have one of those ducks behind me. I'm going to show it to you because I thought of this the other day. Look. Look what I have. This little duck. But my niece used to make these as like peace ducks. And she would get like hundreds of these little rubber ducks, and she would write on the bottom of them like a positive message. The positive message is worn off, but you can see she tried. It's something like,
oh, that's life.
I love you and you're great. And then she would like leave them for people as little gifts.
Well, that's nice.
So cute. Yeah.
I don't know what the babies are for. I don't know if the babies go on a different car. But one thing we learned from Rosie on Rhode Island is that people with Jeep Wranglers receive ducks. And my friend has a Jeep Wrangler. And I was like, do you get the ducks? And she's like, I fucking hate it. Because then she's like, it's like, it happens all the time. Stupid little ducks in my car. Like, what am I supposed to do with a fucking duck? I was like, I feel ya. I don't even get the ducks. I just.
You save it. And then you put it on another person's car. Pay the duck forward. Jeez, people are no fun. And
throw it at women you don't like.
I'd be so excited to come out and have a duck on my car. You're like, yes. I got something. Somebody was thinking of me. It's a duck.
I want a nice coffee on my car.
I look at the bottom of the duck. It's like, are you sick? Mother.
Judgy duck.
Yes.
Adam Sandler sent this duck to West Hampton.
Adam Sandler visited his mother. I'm like, okay, mom, I get it.
Just messages from Carol.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Then we talk about this new girl who's joining. It's going to be a new girl, Jen, and Jen's bringing her in. Her name is Carmela. And Emily's like, well, she's a real estate agent. And Gina goes, oh, well, Jen needs one because I am never taking that job again.
So Jen and Carmela hop into her car. And then Jen is like, oh, Carmela, I've never seen this like a spicy side of you. She goes, well, I'm from Cleveland, so, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, it's in there. It's like, yep. When I think of feisty, I'm like, Cleveland, Ohio. Feisty capital of the world.
Yeah, I think of the Drew Carey show.
Oh, yeah, I guess there was that lady with the eyeshadow. So Jen's like, Carmel and I used to have the same hairdresser for years. You know, like how you meet people and you just feel like you know them forever, mainly because you're dressed as Tamara because you have her extensions in your head. Anyway, he was like with Carmela, and she's like, you know, she's got like a little edge to her, mainly because she has black hair, which is like crazy, and like she used to be a playmate. So I mean, we could just go on and on, black hair, playmate, Cleveland, just like so many layers to Carmela.
That was really funny. She goes, and she used to be a playmate, just so many layers, so many layers,
so many layers, so many layers to her.
It's like what the opposite of a book is. So Jen's like, okay, well, when you lived at the Playboy Mansion, did you have a bedroom there? And she's like, oh, I lived in the bunny house, and that was across the street from the Playboy Mansion. She goes, well, did you enjoy Hugh Hefner? She's like, oh, everyone thinks, did I sleep with him? I did not. Listen, I've seen the show, and I've seen the documentary, and this is all depressing. This is not really the time to be like, oh, yes, I lived at the Playboy Mansion. It's so sad, you know? I don't think there's been a story that's come out of there that's not fucking depressing. So forgive me for not woohooing your storyline, all right, Carmela?
Well, I went to the Playboy Mansion once, and it was the craziest collection of people I've ever seen. At one point, I saw Gloria Allred, Anna Nicole Smith, and Jesse Jackson all talking together. And I was like,
don't forget Scott Baio.
I did not see Scott Baio, but he probably was there. Most likely. And there was a crowd by the bar, and I got wedged between Tiffany and Steven Dorff. And I thought, this is life right here. Then they're arriving at the party, and Tamara and Emily Tamara's like, oh my God, Beth, look how skinny you are. Holy shit. Oh my God, it's like a new person. I'm like scared. Wow, I'm so glad Emily's not here because that stupid bitch is like, oh my God, it's you. Wow, that's crazy.
Where's the other half of you? Besides your bitches.
Well, said,
you're still a terrible person, but you're skinny now. Good for you.
Tell the other part of you that's not here that her podcast isn't allowed on my network, but you get a prime spot.
So Emily is like, well, I do struggle with Tamara because I do care about her, and I know that she does care about me, and I just wish that she would take accountability for what she said, but I've yet to hear that.
Emily, I've never heard you take accountability for anything at any time on any season. So I don't want to hear it from you. I will say, Emily seems very sad this season, right? Like, usually Emily's like, here's a wacky thing. Look, we're at a party. Like, she's trying to be, like, wacky and fun. I mean, later she does bounce in the bounce house. So I guess she gets that in. But
yeah,
she seems, like, super morose.
Well, that's what the preview showed, that like there's issues with Shane. Kids growing up, the kids are maybe having some issues. I think she's like the party may be up. Don't forget, this is someone who's like, it's sort of been tiptoed around, but she's like spends all day in bed. That was actually on Wife Swap. She's like, I get home and I just go into bed and I just, or she's like lying in bed all day. Like there's something going on there. Excuse me. So then Tamara is talking to Gina. She's like,
by the way, we even talk about your engagement. Do we have like a date or something like that?
She's like, no, we actually said for like the next 6 months, we're not even going to talk about it. I just want to enjoy it. I just want to like bask in like being in a fur vest with a little crown on my head with a drippy gutter nearby while he got down on one knee and gave me a plastic ring for my finger. I just want to bask. I feel
you have to get married before Jen, right? When's Jen going to get married? You have to get married before Jen.
And Tamara's like, well, I don't blame Jen. Take your time. But I think Gina and Travis are going to get married before Jen. I think Ryan will place a big bet on that. I'm coming in there because Ryan's an illegal gambler.
So then Jen and Carmela arrive and they say hi to Heather. And Heather, you know Heather hates her because the first thing Heather does is go, so nice to meet you. Ooh. I was like, oh, she hates her. I'm sorry.
Carmela, welcome.
Jesus.
Oh. So you're going to be a non-blonde in this group. Okay, I see. Well, let me just show you over here. It's a trash compactor. I'm just going to put your face into it.
So Tamara's asking Carmela about her life. And she's like, oh, I live in two places. I've got a place in CDM. Yeah, those who know, know. And then I have a place in Rancho Santa Fe. I would call it RSF, but I don't know that enough of you like have the class to understand what that one means. Okay, so I'll just hold that one inside, put that one in my pocket.
Tamara's like, yeah, I want to say that Shannon grew up over there 500 years ago.
So then Shannon gets out of the car. It's like, well, oh my God, I've got to put my dress on fast because can you, Stacey, can you help me? Help, zip me up, Stacey, zip me up. So her friend Stacey comes and zips her up and she's like,
I don't want it wrinkly, okay? Please, please help me.
She's falling out of the car. I'm like, well, I got to put on my dress. Shannon.
And then there's questions about whether or not Vicky's going to make it because she's having past like work, like green card. Passport, whatever, Mexican residency issues. And so Heather is like, I love Vicky and Vicky and I always get along. But recently, Vicky's been saying in the media that we inherited all of our money. So we see a clip of Vicky on a podcast and she's like, yeah, no, I've always been friendly with Heather. Like, I don't resent anything that, you know, they built and have inherited and all that, which to me said, to me, that clip said, yeah, wherever they got their money from, whatever they built, whatever they've inherited, like, I don't resent that. But Heather only hears the inherited. No. You think it was
Oh, no, she meant it shady because even Kristen Gay Snow, her co-host, it's like, well, Vicky, you know, sounding pissy about where somebody's money come from doesn't sound great. She's like, no. I don't mean that at all. I'm very happy for them for having dead relatives who gave them all of their money while some of us are working 12 hours on the beach.
I mean, the thing is this, like, I do believe that they inherited a lot from that, from Terry's brother, but you can't shade them for inheriting a lot of money when one of them is a full-on doctor. I'm sorry. That's like someone who put in a lot of time in medical school and residency and everything. And you can't be like, oh, they're just like resting on their laurels. He's a doctor. Okay. Like that person is Terry may be like, you know, is a TV personality, whatever, but he put in the time to, like, I don't feel like you're going to, you can't shade Terry DeBrow for just, like, being some lazy receiver of money. I'm sorry.
Well, a couple things. Vicky says, well, I know a lot of doctors, they don't live in $40 million homes. So,
I guess to answer that. But, you know, a long time thing on this show is, like, how do they have so much money? Because they've got, like, money. Like, they live in mall homes. They live, you know, on the cliff overlooking the ocean in a zillion-dollar home. But we've also seen them make $1 zillion on this show from building these massive homes and selling them. I mean, didn't they make, like, $20 million off of one of their homes or something crazy?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I do believe that they've inherited some money. And I also believe that Heather comes from money. Like, money flows through this family. I just think it's funny. Like, I'm just never going to shade someone who went to medical school and be like, whoa, look at them just taking the easy way out. you know, it just seems like a weird thing to do.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, whatever. I don't know a doctor with that much money. And Heather is like, well, I want to overlook this, but we need to talk. So Shannon introduces Stacey to the group, And I don't think we need to know who Stacy is, right? They never show her face. So then Heather's like, Tamara, Shannon just arrived. She's like,
oh, whatever. Wow, how did you find this place to have a party in heaven?
She goes, oh, it used to be a funeral home. I came here to check it out for my mother, but unfortunately that bitch is still breathing, so I put a deposit down and had a party here.
Maybe it's where I'll die, since I've apparently been replaced as the sole dark-haired lady of the cast. So Shannon is saying, like, well, seeing Tamara kind of makes my blood boil a little bit. And Tamara's like, well, I don't know what to do. I just don't want to have any sort of thoughts. She's like, well, I want nothing to do with her. I don't want to talk to her. Stay away.
And this is where some of these fashions, Shannon is wearing, it looks like a little girl's church dress. She's got like ruffles and all of this crazy shit going on. And then Nikki, the son, is suddenly standing in front of them with his creepy smile. And they're like, hi. And he's like, hello. Thank you all for coming. I'm Nick. If you don't know me, I'm Heather's really good looking son.
I felt that we should have a master of ceremonies, and who better to do it than Nick Dubrow? I know one person who shouldn't do it. Wendy Malick. Ha! Anyway, he's worked in hospitality, and by worked in, I mean he's received it quite a bit. He's told waiters how he wants his food and how quickly he wants it before they're fired. So he really is comfortable in this space.
Nicky has really earned this night. Worked in hospitality. This is up his alley. Everyone knows him. He's just so cute.
Now, Nikki, on the other hand, I would feel like could get dinged for having, you know, like things sort of handed to him. So Nick is like, hey, everyone, we have some really fun things planned for you guys. Now, I'm really excited. Let's have some fun. By the way, this is the beginning and the end of his responsibilities, is to make a little speech. Heather is like so clearly positioning him to be on Next Gen Los Angeles. Look at him, America. Don't you just love him? Don't you just want to see the rest of his life coming soon to Bravo?
Yeah, she's trying. She got him working for Josh from Million Dollar Listing, and that show got canceled. So next one is Next Gen. Let's do this. But this is not the end of his thing, by the way, because soon Heather's like, where's my microphone, Nikki? I need a microphone to give a speech. You should be on that. He's like, I am getting it currently. I'm currently on that. I was just grabbing that mic. Yeah, that's right, Nikki. Don't fuck this up. This is your chance. You were in hospitality.
Don't fuck it up. I'm a working actress. So they get in there and they're looking at all the things like, ooh, ah, there's an ice luge thing. And, oh, look, there's an HD. Wow. And Shannon's like, oh, my God, this buffet is just freaking phenomenal. Oh, my God. So Emily starts doing the ice luge shot. And of course, she's being really suggestive about it. And Carmela goes, oh, my God, it's a lube. It's a lube.
It's like it's a loo. And Heather goes, oh, it's an ice luge. Luge. And Carmela says, oh, God, this party is like giving 2000s Playboy Mansion, like sexy vibe, bounce house. I'm looking for the Playmates. Ron Jeremy popping out of the corner. Yeah, sorry, got a little confused and called it a loo. My mind was on other things.
So Tamara's like,
that's Vicky. Why is it Vicky here?
And then an SUV pulls up and it's Vicky. And she's in the, we just hear her voice like, la, 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 la. She got stitches.
Be careful. God damn it.
I've got 20 stitches in here. Of course, it's one thing after another with me. I just had a cyst removed yesterday underneath my armpit. And now I'm bleeding. It's never a dull moment. Never a dull moment with me.
Yeah. And Olivia, who is Michael's, her boyfriend's daughter, is like, there's like a literal face mask in your bra. She's like, yeah, because the only thing I can have, I don't get my period anymore. I didn't really understand what that meant, but I just decided to go with it. So Heather is showing Emily around. She's like, okay, Emily, let me show you things that rich people can afford to do for their parties. Here's a photo station. We're doing Polaroids because, you know, we don't want to waste a good film on you guys. Oh, diamonds over here. Tattoo over here. Oh, and here's the exit. This is where we send the poor people after 10 minutes. Okay, see you later.
Who has a, what is a tattoo booth doing at a party? no, I'm not going to get tattooed at your party, you fucking weirdo. And they're real tattoos.
This happened in the battle.
XOXO, never forgot. You were at a party thrown by HD the night that Nikki's star rose.
Yeah, you know, I know people have a lot of stories attached to their tattoos, and I'm just wondering who wants to say, yes, this is from the time I went to Heather DeBro's Valentine's party.
At a funeral home.
At a funeral home. So and Heather announces, Heather has a big announcement, Ronnie. Big announcement. Everyone, I'm in my fun era.
So funny. So Tamara actually gets the tattoo, and Vicky comes in and says hi to everybody. She's like, I got a pass. I got a pass from Mexico, but now it's when he got the consulate. So now I'm just stuck waiting.
She got tricked. Mexico was like, wait. Oh, yes. Vicky Gumbelson. Wait, we have a chance to make her leave our country? Yes. Yes, you can leave. You can go back to California. We'll let you back in. We'll let you know when you can come back. Just stay there.
Sorry, which one is Vicky Gumbelson? It's the lady who keeps coming here asking if we've started to build the wall yet. Oh, God, that lady. Yeah, get her on a plane. Get her on a plane.
Send her off. So, yes. Oh, you're right. Here's Nick's other big moment. Here's the microphone moment.
Yeah, so no, give me my microphone. Meanwhile, Carmella sees Vicky, and she's like, hello, I'm Carmella. Oh, nice to meet you. And Emily is like, well, when you meet Victoria, you have to bow. And Jen goes, yeah, there's like a respect to her. You have to kiss her ring. Vicky's like, well, they used to call me Queen Victoria. My crown is a little crooked. Carmella's like, yeah, I'm not trying to bow to anybody. I'm definitely not kissing anyone's ring. I knew Ron Jeremy.
So then Carmella's telling Shannon that she lives in CDM and also Rancho Santa Fe. And she's like, are you from the ranch? She's like, what? Well, I live in Corona Del Mar. I mean, I'm the Dutch. By the way, I'm sorry. I'm giving Shannon way too much of a sober interpretation. It was more like this.
I live in Corona Del Mar, and I'm the Duchess of Corona Del Mar. I'm just kidding. I joke. I have to joke to get through the loneliness. It's just me and some dogs, but they just call me the bag lady of Corona Del Mar, I'll be honest. Or sometimes the whipped cream on a cone dropper lady of Corona Del Mar. I'm lonely.
Or the Ma is my, because I broke the Mahjong is my Valentine sign.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Heather gets up and she's like, hello, ding, ding, ding. Hello, everybody. Welcome to my party, Hearts and Farts, celebrating what else? Friendship. I just wanted to celebrate new friends. I was about to say old friends.
See?
Alfredo.
Oh.
Alfredo. Thank you. Alfredo's new and dead. Got one. Thank God we're in a funeral home. I have somewhere to put Alfredo's body for fucking that one up. Okay, well, Tamara goes,
just call them historical fans.
Historical friends, one might say. Historical. So then Emily rolls her eyes, and then Jen's like, why is she throwing that around? They're like, all of a sudden they're upset about historical. Like, how could she say historical? And then Emily's like, she's trying to minimize it. She's trying to make it natural. I guarantee you, one thing Heather DeBro will never be doing in life is making anything sound natural or be natural or just even look natural. I don't associate the concept of natural with Heather DeBro.
Please eat, drink, and be merry. And remember, both Tamara and life are short. But Tamara is much harder to live through. Cheers, everybody. Let's do Jello shots.
So the waitress tries to give Vicky a Jello shot. And she's like, oh, yeah, I used to make these by the river all the time. That's how the Woohoo started. And we see flashbacks to Havasu. And in the glory days of the aughts. And then they're like, the pourers are now like playing with all the baubles that Heather's put out. So basically Gina's sniffing perfumes. And Jen is like, oh, by the way, Shannon called me earlier today, and Shannon's feeling that Heather is like not being honest about how she feels about Tamara. And we see a flashback of this FaceTime, and Shannon's like, well,
you know, the dinner after the reunion, 100% of the meal was negative comments about Tamara. And she's like, it's frustrating that that when we're alone with Heather, she'll say certain things. And then when we're all together as a group, she's like, buddy, buddy, saying things like historical, historical.
And Jen, who is starting all this, like Jen is clearly going from person to person. Like, guys, Heather is so nice to Tamara's face, but she keeps talking behind her back.
I said, what are you doing? You're talking behind Heather's back right
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Exactly. And she's also not taking, she's a huge hypocrite, but I love, you know, seeing her grow into her housewives role. So Jen is telling us, you know, if somebody really does care about Heather, I think being a good friend is pushing people out of their comfort zones and under buses. And to hear Shannon say that she feels the same way as me as after I brought it up, it's like, gosh, is anyone going to say anything? I'm going to say something and blame somebody else for it.
If Shannon feels that way about Heather, then she should talk to Heather about it. And by she should talk to Heather about it, I mean I'll talk to Heather about it.
So Heather's getting a tattoo and she's like, I'm getting a tattoo. XX. I always sign my name. XX Heather.
So Gina's talking to Jen. Just Heather getting XX. It's just also funny because Tamara just got XOXO. So Gina's like, I didn't like the things I seen Tamara discussing in the press, so I said that to Tamara.
And Jen's like, I don't know how powerful it would be if Heather would just be honest with Tamara. So like, maybe we could, like, if she did that, we could, like, mend this broken friendship, you know?
So Tamara sees Vicky, and she's like, hey, Vix, I love you so much. I just love you, Vix. And holds her, and Vicky's like, oh, well, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I just love you so much. It doesn't have anything to do with everybody here hating me. I love you, Vix. I'm so glad to have you back in my heart, Vicky. I'm just going to walk by slowly, inches away from the two of them, but not look. So Tamara realizes that a very beautiful and lonely cloud has wafted by. Okay.
Am I intentionally avoiding Tamara? Yes. Yes, I am. I don't have anything to say to her, so I'm going to keep on walking. Will I stop to say hello?
No.
And by avoiding, I mean in this giant room, I'm just going to walk directly up to her and then keep on going. That's what people who are avoiding do.
So Heather's like, look, girls, I got a tattoo.
Jen's like, oh my God, is that a real tattoo? Is that real? She's like,
it is. I'm a badass.
It looks like an ant crawling on her. So Gina is like,
literally, yeah, this tattoo is like the smallest tattoo I've ever seen. Like, it reminds me of like when Lisa Kudrow got the tattoo of the world on Friends. And like, it was just like a dot. Like, it was like so funny. I was like, oh my God, it was like hilarious.
So Gina is talking to Heather and she's like, well, I'm talking to Jen over there, and Shannon's like a little upset with you because she feels like you aren't completely honest about your relationship with Tamara. And she's like, oh, stop this again, come on.
Did she say that?
I talked to Shannon today and she said it today, so yeah. Mm-hmm. It was rough.
Well, do you feel like I address things with Tamara? Gina's like, I do feel that way, Heather. I do feel that way. By the way, you still have my routing number, right?
I was very clear about everything, and I did that last year, too. Yeah, Heather told us she was embarrassing everyone. And Heather's like, yes, she was embarrassing. Yes, and she told her to her face, everyone. That's what Heather did.
Gina, like, advocating for this and everything. But I love that Gina starts this by being like, hey, Jen said that Shannon said this. Isn't that crazy? Don't worry. I'm on your side about this. Don't you worry. You've been a great friend.
Yeah. So Tamara tells Vicky that she went painting with Heather and Gina. And Vicky's like, you don't know how to paint? What were you doing painting?
Well, I'm exhausted. They were giving me a hard time because I was friends with you, Vicky. They didn't like that very much.
And we see Heather saying, you and Vicky have called each other terrible names, and you're the worst human being on the planet and all that stuff.
I'm like, we've been friends for 20 years. Whatever. She gets a pass because she's just Vicky. What are you going to do?
And Vicky's saying, well,
which is, oh, by the way, that's the exact same logic of Heather saying, well, Tamara, I put her in a box. It's like the same thing. Like, well, we've been friends for so long. I give Vicky a pass.
Yeah. And Vicky's like, well, I'm disappointed, but I don't go backwards. I'm not going backwards.
So then Gina is like, well, sometimes it's difficult because, like, you do communicate things, but it's, like, always not received, you know? And there's nothing you can do about that, Heather. Right?
And we talked about that. Me and Tamara, we talked about that, everyone. Me, the person who just paid for her new tattoo, so she really shouldn't be mad at me. We talked about that.
I'm in Tamara, my very happy, unbothered era.
Fun era. Tamara and I have been friends for a long time, and I do not agree with everything that she does, but I'm unbothered, and that does not mean I'm turning my back on her. Maybe I'm a good influence on her. Does anyone ever think that, Mother?
And Jen's like, well, I mean, if everyone's fine talking behind each other's back, that's fine. But, you know, just be honest and, you know, say that you put her in a box, you know. And so Tamara's talking to Vicky and she's like,
but Vicky, I just don't want all of them to come between us because they're trying to, Vicky. They're like, Tamara, why are you friends with Vicky? She smells so gross. Tamara, why are you friends with Vicky? Her knee's broken. Tamara, why are you friends with Vicky? They wouldn't even let it be an owner bonding.
So Vicky sees Heather. She goes,
Heather, get over here. Why were you talking mean about me?
Heather goes, what was mean? I never said anything mean. By the way, you're the one that says mean things about me.
She's like, God, I don't. No, I don't. She goes, Terry and I inherited all of our money. Really, Vicky?
She's like, I don't care where you got your money. And Heather's like eyes just like narrow. And she goes, Vicky, our mothers are alive. Where did we inherit money from? No, Alfredo. No, wrong time.
And Vicky, like it's a game show, she's like, Terry's brother.
His
mother is alive. If he had money, it would be with her. How does that? That's not true.
That's not true at all.
That's not the line of succession, ma'am. Okay. I've seen Succession and Game of Thrones. So.
She's like, Terry's brother was a huge mama's boy sissy. He gave everything to the mother, not to Terry. That's kind of like what she's saying. I would think that's not necessarily true at all. I think the money can go in many different directions.
Yeah. So Vicky's like, don't yell at me. And she's like, my husband worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then the sound effect goes, ding. Like the sound effects people were like, right. Right, right.
Which is the most popular restaurant for all the Alfredos, I hear. And Vicky's like, well, I don't doubt that. I mean, I do kind of doubt. I actually 100% doubt that. And Heather's like, for everything we have, see all this? This was paid for by boobs. Tamara's like,
boobs? Boobs tits? Is that what you mean, tits? She's like,
yeah, boobs.
And this is where Vicky's like, well, doctors don't live in $40 million homes or even $20 million. I know doctors, okay? Like, maybe it's her award-winning acting that pays for all of this.
That was great shade. And the award-winning acting that got this money. She's like, we didn't inherit our money! It's so funny because, like, the way that Heather is amplifying this, like, offhanded comment, whether it was shady or not, you're probably right. It probably was shady on a podcast. You know, I guarantee the majority of the audience never heard this, or if they did hear it, they missed it. Like, when they forgot about it. And Heather amplifying it here for this fight now is making all of us wonder, well, maybe they did get their money from inheriting it. I am so amused by how she never realizes how she always is at.
She's bringing her own stink. You know,
yeah,
weren't talking about this. Nobody's listening to Vicky's podcast. You get no offense.
She always achieves the opposite ends of what she's going for all the time.
Yeah. So Heather's like, we didn't inherit our money. Now kiss me, you fucking bitch. And she walks away. And Tamara goes, wow, she really lit you up. Vicky goes, I lit her up.
So now we're in the bouncy castle. There's a bouncy castle there. And they're all bouncing and Shannon can't get up. And she's just like rolling around and her dress is like riding up around her Spanx. And then Gina's like,
Tamara, have you talked to Shannon?
And Tamara's like,
nah, I don't feel like this is the place. I like talking to her on steady ground. Do we have stuff to talk about? I have some stuff to talk about. Yeah.
And Jen's like, well, I'm so glad to hear that there's stuff to talk about because I'm going to talk to you very straight because I want you to shoot me very straight, okay? Because sometimes...
Be careful what you wish for.
I know, this is Orange County. Jeez. Be careful.
Yeah. Sometimes so she says basically like, you know what? Like, we can have the kindest conversation, but then you're fake, you know, and you talk behind my back and I'm tired of it. And I sat down with Heather, and when she talked about you, she said she puts you in a box and so she can compartmentalize her friends. And Tamara's like,
oh, really? She said that about me? Hold on a minute. Let me sit with that hurt for a minute. Oh, God, that hurts.
You can see that.
I just got a red zone tattoo. Oh, God. Never going to forget this moment. The hurt, the pain.
You can see that Tamara doesn't quite understand what this means, but she understands the sentiment that she should be upset. So she's like,
all right, I'm in the box. I should be insulted. I don't know why, but while I think about it, I'll just shake my head a lot quietly and back away slowly.
Yeah. And she's like,
well, thank you. Thank you so much, Jen, for bringing this to me, to my face. You think I appreciate it, you dumb bitch.
And she's like, yeah, oh my God. Like, I felt so good telling Tamara that. We are back. Me and Tamara are back. Wow. That I see a change in Tamara. She's so much lighter. Wow. What a change.
So she hugs her, but Heather walks up. And Heather's like, should I not have stepped into this? And Tamara's like,
yeah, probably not the best time. I'm just going to go. I need to process things that we just spoke about right now before Heather walked up.
Bye, girl. Wow. And here I was, ready to talk about my new fun era, as evidenced by me yelling at Vicky, we did not inherit our money. So Tamara's like,
Heather talking behind my back about boxes and stuff and saying that she puts me in a box makes me think, wow. Are you really my real friend? Putting me in boxes? I could suffocate and die in a box. Kind of breaks my heart. Assuming my heart is in a box.
So Jen is like, well, I just told her that, you know, you're in rooms and you're not around and there's shit that's being said.
Oh, and Jen, yeah. Miss accountability. Miss accountability, mm-hmm. Jen. Of course is going to lie the second Heather walks up.
Like, I was just saying, you know, like everybody, you know, like everybody has to put her in a box.
Yeah, she basically just told her that you put her in a box and that's how you deal with it.
What? No, I said she put everybody in a box. I said that, yeah, everybody's in a box. That's what I said.
I do not put people in boxes. That's what Alfredo was there for.
We should stop saying put people in a box in a funeral home. Am I right? Ba-dum-cha.
So Jen's like, yeah, we all said that. We all said it.
So Gina's like, you know what, Jen is stepping in shit right now. And like then instead of getting out of the shit and cleaning the shoe, she like put her other foot in the shit. Not both her feet are in the shit.
I felt the other night we had a very real conversation where she probably didn't like what I had to say. And Jen's like, yeah, and I wasn't there, but I'm like so grateful that we're starting to do that. That's great. They're having those sort of conversations. And it was all said then, but that was forward motion. And now it feels like backwards. You understand what you've done. Because I'm unbothered now, I'm not giving you a very angry monologue and using words like adjudicate, but just know my eyes are saying it.
You know, I thought Jen and I were simpatico, but now... Hearing that she's talking behind my back and making us go backwards. It's basically a new girl saying Lou. It's a disappointment. I'm going to have to think about this one.
So Jen's like, well, sometimes we have to go backwards and we have to be really honest to go forward, right? Because if we,
we're not,
if we're,
if we're not backwards, back race is driving. Okay. We're going-
Jen. So Jen pretending she's missing accountability, but then also walking around refusing to take accountability when she's starting all the shit.
Yeah, not a good look. And Heather is, it basically ends with Heather saying, well, Tamara wouldn't say goodbye to me and she wouldn't even look me in the eye. She just left and it's going to come back in a different direction.
Dun, dun, dun. So it was a good, pretty good first episode of the season. Looking forward to more. Thanks so much for being with us, you guys. We'll talk to you the next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Walking to the club, everybody say my name. Walking to the mall and same. Everywhere I go, people holler every day. I raise my hands up and holler back. Hey, bitch. blogs, Twitter, Facebook, and Insta. I ruled them all, cause when I play, I win. The People magazine called and said, I'm the mate. Asked me lots of questions, I answered everyone. Hey, Bat. Hey, Bat. Hey, Bat. You pretend not to love me, but don't think you're above me. Try to hate me, but life celebrates me.
Boy, bat, girl, bat, another boat.
Batch, batch, all around the world, even Shrek.
Such a stretch. Bat, mommy, bat, daddy, bat, bat, even baby.
Batch, batch, read the holy book, even God saved a wretch. Batch.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock. We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron. She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.